We must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. We must stop or substantially reduce this, and it has to begin immediately.
It's President Trump talking to the nation just after the mass shootings that took place in El Paso and Dayton. Politicians have often called out violent video games after mass shootings in the United States. While there are some psychological researchers who argue against a link between violent video games and real-life violence, our next guest says a lot of other researchers have found evidence that links aggression and the playing of video games. Raul Huseman is the Amos Tversky Collegiate Professor of Communication Studies and Psychology at the University of Michigan. He's also a research professor and director of Michigan's Aggression Research Program. Raul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Raul, we heard the president there making a pretty strong correlation between violent video games and real-life violence. As a researcher, how do you and your colleagues try to figure out what, if any, connection there is?
Well, actually, there's been a lot of research for over 50 years looking at media violence in general. Before video games, people were looking at TV violence, movie violence, and then video game violence. And the vast majority of the studies find a relation such that kids who are habitually exposed to more media violence as they're growing up behave more aggressively when they're grown up. Now, that's not to say that the violence in the media is responsible for mass shootings. And too often, the two theories are presented as opposites. Either we control the guns that have a profusion of guns in the society, or we control the media violence. We need to control both. No matter what effects media violence is having, if youth could not easily have access to guns, they wouldn't be shooting somebody.
Do we tend to oversimplify when we're trying to sort out the link between media violence and real-world actual violence?
Yes, we definitely tend to oversimplify. I think the best way to look at it is violence is really a disease. It's a contagious disease. Youth catch violence from other youth and other adults who behave violently. If you're surrounded by violence in the family, you're more likely to behave violently. If you're surrounded by violence in the community, you're more likely to behave violently. If you're surrounded by violence in your peers, you're more likely to behave violently. And if you're surrounded and exposed to violence habitually in the media, you're more likely to behave violently. It's really just like a contagious disease, except you don't need to be next to the person who's infected with the disease to catch it. You just need to be exposed to them, observe them.
Can you talk about some of the studies that have found increased aggression related to video game violence in particular?
Yeah, well, there's both laboratory studies and longitudinal studies. Now, the thing is, you know, social science research is often imperfect. Public health research is often imperfect. Just like everybody knows people who smoke cigarettes all of their life and have never gotten lung cancer, and people who have lung cancer and have never smoked cigarettes. Some people can play violent video games all their life and never behave particularly violently, and other people behave violently and never play violent video games. But what a number of studies show is that kids who play habitually violent video games later on tend to have a greater propensity to behave violently. And in short term, in the laboratory, we can control various things and have artificial violence and aggression tasks. I mean, the problem is you can't go out in the world and try to do a clinical trial or a test to see if you expose somebody to violence and they'll kill somebody. That would be unethical. So we have these analogous tasks in the laboratory that look at things like behaving aggressively in a game. And those tend to show in the laboratory that playing violent video games tends to cause people to behave more aggressively. And then the real-world studies show that people who report playing violent video games over and over and over and over again grow up to be more aggressive and violent. So we have these two lines of research.
people might point toward a chicken or egg question with the people who like to play a lot of violent video games. Maybe they were inclined to violence before they started playing the video games. Is that something that we're able to sort out?
Not easily, and certainly not in the study in the field. In the laboratory, we can, because we can take people who are equivalent and randomly assign one of them to play a violent video game and the other one to play a nonviolent video game and see which one behaves violently later on. We can do that in the laboratory, but that's just a short-term effect. So we can't do that in the field. So we have to base this on a lot of longitudinal studies which follow kids growing up. I mean, the thing is that we know that kids who are exposed to, for example, neighborhood violence over and over again behave more violently. It would be surprising if media violence did not have the same kind of effect, because as a psychologist, we know that something called observational learning is the process, the psychological process producing the effect. Children see and children do. Imitation is a very, very powerful process in developmental psychology. And it would be hard to believe that children could see certain things in their neighborhood, in their family, in their peers, that had an effect, and it wouldn't have an effect if they saw it on the screen. That's just hard to believe.
Dr. Raul Huseman from the University of Michigan, looking at violent video games and real-world aggression and violence, looking at some of the research that tries to connect the dots between the two. Raul, based on what we know now and the research that's out there, what would you say to parents about who are wondering, okay, when is too early for a violent video game? How should we limit kids' behavior? What kind of things should we be thinking about?
Well, first of all, I think no one should misinterpret what researchers are saying, that kids should not, in terms of kids should not play video games. Video games are great teachers. There's Mindscape and a lot of games that can be very beneficial. I mean, we use video games to teach all sorts of skills that are very good. The problem is, when you're playing violent video games, first-person shooter games and so on, the skills you're learning are skills how to aggress against someone else. So what I would say to parents is, encourage your kids to play video games, but not violent video games. Video games that teach things you want your kids to learn. Skills, pro-social behavior, all sorts of things.
We asked our listeners on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jonathan writes, I think there is a link between video games and violence, but Jonathan writes, it's far from the simplistic public discourse so far. We live in a violence-soaked culture where movies, TV, politics, and yes, video games present a cultural menu of sorts to the troubled people who wish to lash out in some way. What do you think, of Raul, of what Jonathan had to say?
Well, I think that's very insightful. I mean, I agreed to a great extent with what he says. The media violence is just one part of a culture of violence, and we have to reduce that. We have to reduce violence in the neighborhoods, in the family, and in the media, if we're going to have an effect on reducing violence in society.
On the other hand, we heard from Derek, who says, no, there is no direct link, but in online games, the anonymity of players leads to hostility. I believe that the trend in games and all social media is unhealthy. So Derek doesn't think it's the content, but the disconnect from our fellow humans that we get sometimes when we play games online.
Well, there are a lot of people who have that view, and quite honestly, I think they're just wrong. They have not really looked at the research the way that I have and a lot of other scholars have. The research really shows very compellingly that the more violent video games, the more violent media you're exposed to, the greater the risk of behaving aggressively. But as I said at the start, it's just like cigarette smoking and lung cancer. For some kids, they can play a lot of violent video games and they'll never behave more violently. For other kids, it will be very detrimental.
Talking to Raul Huseman, he's a professor of psychology and communication studies at the University of Michigan. We're talking about violence in video games and whether it leads to real-world aggression or violence. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for our guest about the research that's out there into video games and other forms of media violence? What do you think about the connection? If you are a parent, do you think carefully about the kind of video games you let your kids play, or the shows for that matter that you let them watch? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Raul Huseman, psychology and communication studies professor at the University of Michigan. We're talking about violent video games and whether they can cause aggression and violence in real life. And you can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Do you play violent video games yourself? Do you let your kids do it, or do you restrict them? Call in 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. We've got Dave with us in Appleton. Dave, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am just curious as to how far this research goes back. If we want to look at actual statistics, violent crime overall has been on a steady decrease for a long time now, regardless of what the media would have us believe. And if violent video games really are the cause of this, I can't imagine what kind of violent video games they were playing in medieval times, like the most violent time in history. So I'm just not sure how this data correlates, really.
Dave, thanks for the call. So violent crime trends generally downward, Raul, even amidst the rise of video games.
Well, there's a problem in looking at crime trends and comparing the sales of video games, for example. Yes, if the only cause of violence were video games, you'd expect to find a direct relation. But many things cause violence. Violent video games are just one small part of all the things. So it's not surprising that when sales of violent video games go up, violent crime doesn't go up. It would be like not surprising that there are more sales of beer in Germany than Wisconsin. I'm not sure if that's true.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, we drink a lot of beer here.
But you know, and we know alcohol produces a propensity to behave aggressively. But just because there are more beer sales and there's less propensity for aggression in Wisconsin, let's say, than Germany, that doesn't mean there's no relation between alcohol and beer sales. That's the problem with looking at these trends. I mean, the fact of the matter is that if you look at individual differences in people who are exposed more to violent video games have a greater propensity to behave aggressively in any society. You know, there are many societies that have less violence in the United States, and there are some that have more violence in the United States. But those differences in societies are not going to be explained by differences in playing violent video games. Differences in gun violence are most likely to be explained by differences in the ease in which you can get guns, for example, not in the differences between a number of people playing video games or being exposed to violent media.
Dave, thanks for that call. Go now to Mark with us in Hartford. Mark, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question was just if there's an age that you would call like a cutoff time from where you transition a child from playing nonviolent video games to allowing them to play games that say their friends are playing or you know, whatever is popular currently. I know that it's not talked about, I feel like, as often, but there are video games that have the rating system, but of course, you know, young children are, you know, still getting their hands on whatever, you know, Grand Theft Auto just recently came out.
Mark, thanks for the call. Raul, it sounds like in general you'd say we're all better off playing fewer or no violent video games, but how young or what age would you say just don't even go there for a kid?
Yeah, well, this is the way I put it, actually. I mean, I would have trouble advocating anyone playing violent video games, but what research and psychological theory shows is that by the time you're actually probably in your mid-teens or late teens, these scripts for social behavior are so well developed and the norms for social behavior that playing violent video games, being exposed to media violence, or being exposed to violence in the neighborhood is not likely to have as much effect, nearly as much effect as younger kids. So when I'm talking to parents groups, I say, don't really worry about your older teenager. Worry about your 3-year-old, your 4-year-old, your 6-year-old, your 8-year-old, your 10, 11, 12-year-old. That's when personalities are being formed and scripts for social behavior are being developed. That's the age we really need to worry about.
Mark, thanks a lot for calling in with that question. We'll go now to Katie with us in River Falls. Katie, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up, Katie?
So he's talking about violent video games, but the thing is with all these mass shootings, most of them are people who identify as male. If violent video games cause as much violence as he's talking about, we'd see both males and females being reported for these things. And I'm a gal who plays video games. I haven't heard square one about gals doing this.
Katie, thanks for the call. Raul, do we know much about gender divisions when it comes to the impact of violent video games?
Well, we certainly know a lot about gender divisions in terms of violence. Katie, you're absolutely right. Males are much more likely to commit violence. If you look at murder rates in general, they're much higher for perpetrators of males than females. But this is not explained by video games, differences in playing video games. This is explained by many other differences between the genders, including norms for roles that you're supposed to follow. I don't like the idea of anyone playing violent video games, but the fact is it's more likely to have a deleterious effect probably on males than on females.
Katie, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Raul Huseman is with us from the University of Michigan, a psychologist. He researches, among other things, the impact of media violence. We're talking about video games, violent video games, and whether they cause more aggression and maybe even real-world violent behavior. Back to your calls now. Stephanie is with us in Racine. Stephanie, hi.
Hi. First of all, thanks for taking my call. I have been an avid gamer since I was little, since the release of the Nintendo, and so I've kind of been through the gamut of different systems and all that kind of stuff and different types of games. And my question is just kind of what is it that or what do you classify as violent? Just because there's all different realms, and generally you're battling something or battling another person or. So it's what actually classifies that and would have an effect? And did you do that that kind of comparison in your studies?
Interesting point, Stephanie. So all there could be everything from Mario jumping on a turtle to really realistic Warzone type violence. Do those have different levels of impact?
Actually, they do. The more that the person can identify with the avatar, for example, in a game, the greater the effect it's likely to have. If you can really put yourself into the avatar and really identify with it, then it's more likely to have an effect. In terms of the kind of violence, the violence that has the greatest effect is violence where you think you seem to be doing it for a good end. I mean, nobody wants to really be bad. You want to do things for a good end. In a lot of games, you're trying to be a hero and do things heroically. And those, unfortunately, particularly for young kids, are the kinds of effects that are likely to be strongest because they want to be heroic.
Thanks a lot for the call, Stephanie. Raul, I come back to what we were talking about at the very beginning, oversimplification in this debate. I think a lot of times when people start talking about video games and violence, it's all or nothing. Some people say there's no link at all, and some people say it is a prime driver of violence in our society. It sounds like you're looking for a lot more nuance as we research and especially talk about this.
Yes, I really like the infectious disease model that I think I mentioned earlier, that really being exposed to violence, playing a violent video game, seeing violent movies, TV, seeing violent neighbors in your family and so on, each little thing contributes to an infection of violence in you. And some people have great resistance to being infected. Some people are more susceptible to being infected. And a lot of other factors influence that. So if we think about this as this kind of disease, infectious disease model, I think we're better off because just like any other disease, some people can be exposed to diseases and they'll never catch it because they have resistance. Other people slight exposure will have an effect. And I think the same is being exposed to violence. It's the same kind of thing.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Raul, do you see a policy solution aimed at what you're talking about, like a public health problem here?
Well, I should mention that in, you know, I've been doing research a long time. In 1972, I actually testified before Congress as part of a group that the Surgeon General of the United States, then Jesse Seinfeld, had organized. And the Surgeon General concluded then, there comes a time when the evidence is sufficient to warrant action. That time has come. So I think we've known some action should be taken a long time. The question is what? We live in a free society. We don't want censorship. So it's really up to individuals. And the good thing about this is that the effects, I think everyone agrees, are biggest on children. So we really need to have controls that limit children's exposure, not limit my exposure or your exposure as an adult, but children's exposure. That's what really produces deleterious effects for society, is children adopting the norm that violence is normal, violent behavior is okay. When someone crosses you, you should be violent against them. That's what we have to try to counteract.
Raul, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. I really enjoyed it.
That's Raul Huseman, professor of communication studies and psychology at the University of Michigan, joining us for a look at violence and video games.